Praise the Lord. Welcome to our podcast on this Friday night. God bless you for joining us. We are excited to be here with you, and we're excited again to learn what God is speaking to his remnant today. I'm here with my wife, Julie, and of course, Nat's over there producing. And so we're going to get into some things. I was reminded earlier by Nat that those of you that are associated with us know that God spoke a three-month prophecy beginning on May 5th, running through August 5th. God has, if he did nothing else, he has already fulfilled what he promised to do during those 3 months. But he reminded me that we are just now hit the halfway mark. And so we don't know what else God's going to do, but we're excited to see what he's going to do. Amen. And again, if he did nothing else, those of you that are here know what God has already done during that three-month period. And so, but we still have a month and a half to go. I'm excited to see how much more God will do. And I know he's willing because the Bible tells us he's willing. Mm-hmm. And we know he's able because the Bible tells us he's able. So let's see what God does. Well, today as we came in here and sat down, we both kind of had an idea to have a little bit of a discussion about holiness. You know that's where we're at here, and it is a key part, maybe the key part, of what Remnant Life is about. Again, those of you that are familiar with what we're doing here, you know that God spoke that we have an ark. It is an unseen ark, but it is an ark of protection for God's remnant. But what also God said, that it is a place, an ark for people to lift up holy hands. And, you know, there's a difference between lifting up hands to the Lord and lifting up holy hands. And most people never understand that there's a difference. They lift up hands, but there's a difference between lifting up hands and lifting up holy hands. The Bible says, I wish that all men would lift up holy hands unto the Lord. So my idea for this podcast is, of course, I told you there's a scripture I want you to read. I read it on Sunday, but I want to reiterate it today. But my idea really is just to throw some words out that kind of describe what holiness is, and just to talk about those words. But go ahead and read, just to kind of set the tone about what we mean by holiness and believing. And when we talk about that, this scripture in Mark chapter 8 that she's about to read really helps set the tone for what is expected of us. Go ahead and read it.
This is Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it."
Wow.
"For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels."
What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Wow, what a powerful scripture. Well, I had to read this because it helps explain, without even using the word holiness, it helps explain the idea of holiness. Holiness, you, until you're willing to deny yourself, then you really can't understand what holiness is about. Until you get to that place to where you say, there is nothing in my life that is worth keeping that will keep me from what she just read. It said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? And of course, the answer to that is unspoken answer. Well, there's nothing. There's nothing that you would give in exchange for your soul. But it is that process of holiness in our lives that actually makes us live that scripture Jesus read. It makes us live that out. Before I start throwing out words to talk about, let me just remind us of a couple of important biblical principles as it pertains to holiness. And the first one is actually, again, it doesn't use the word holiness, but I've been talking a lot about it recently. Jesus said, he said, let me tell you what the kingdom of heaven is like. Whenever he says this is what the kingdom of heaven is like, he's telling you how the supernatural world works, what it works on. And he said, it's like a man who found a hidden treasure in the field, and he sold everything he had. He gave everything away. He denies himself, gets rid of everything so he can go and have that field. Or he said, it's like a man who finds a pearl of great price, and he sells everything he has so he can go buy that one pearl. You see, that is the biblical idea of what it means to believe and to be holy. And people say, well, I believe. I confess the Lord, I believe. But if you're not living that scripture out, then you don't believe. You might profess a few things. The Bible talks about it, says that with their mouth, they say some things, but in their works, they deny him. That's what the Bible says. And if you really believe unto living a holy life, then you're like that man who goes after the pearl of great price. You so believe that pearl is worth everything. You so believe that hidden treasure is worth everything, that everything is surrendered at the altar of anointing. Everything. And you know, when you go through the Word of God, even you talk about people like Abraham. Abraham surrendered everything at the altar of anointing, and go on through the Word of God. That is what holiness, you believe so much that you're willing to live a holy life. Now, let me talk a little bit more before we get into these words, just some things to help us remember what holiness is. First of all, the Bible says God is holy. Everybody talks about God is love. God is love because that fits their idea of how they want to receive from God. But the Bible also says God is holy. And not only does it say God is holy, there's a command that is found in both the Old and the New Testament. And I always tell people, when there is something that is found literally word for word in both the Old and the New Testament, that is because it is an eternal principle that God requires, and that the New Testament writers picked up on it and rewrote it in the New Testament. But one of those such principles is that God said, be holy, for I am holy. Think about that. Be holy, for I am holy. Because I am God, and I am holy. I am holy. He said, I require that from you as well. And so we need to understand that this isn't just an important scripture. This is what I've been calling recently, it is the gotcha. It is the gotcha word in the Bible. It is the word that everything revolves around. The Bible literally says in Hebrews, it says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Again, it literally lays it out. I don't know if you can find another scripture that lays it out so openly, where it says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It's that clear. It is the gotcha word, because there's a lot of things you can fake. You can't fake holiness. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. You can fake a lot of stuff, but you cannot fake holiness. And it is the one thing where people say, you know, Jesus said they're going to come to me and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, we believe. Lord, Lord, we did works for you. We did all these great ministry for you. We did all this stuff for you. And Jesus said, I'm going to look at them and say, I never knew you. Why? Because what he looks for is holiness. That's what he looks for. And it is the gotcha word of where you think you've got it figured out, but you're not living a holy life, then you will not see the Lord. It's really that simple.
And just to kind of talk a little bit more in the spirit of the scripture about selling everything just for that one pearl, you know, in the field. We spend our whole lives accumulating things, accumulating not just things, but experiences, knowledge,
yeah, right.
All. And it's no matter how you think about it, no matter how you would express it, it really is encumbering ourselves
Absolutely.
With everything that we are doing in our lives, whether we're, you know, getting an education or whether we're building a career or whether we're just doing anything. We're accumulating things. We're encumbering ourselves. And the whole point of this and of denying yourself and of selling everything so that you can acquire the pearl is to unencumber ourselves.
That's right. That's a part of it.
To shed, to take off that burden, all the things that you've accumulated, because no matter how you look at it, that's what you're doing. Is you're getting your for yourself a big burden that you're just going to have to carry with you everywhere you go, and you're always cultivating it, and you're always. But what we're supposed to be doing is unencumbering ourselves from all the different things, so that we can strive to enter through
the
narrow gate.
That's the word.
It all fits together so beautifully if we just can see it by the Spirit.
Well, that is
for what it really.
And that's the key, is that people don't understand that the Bible clearly teaches that what's going on in this world around in our lives, this fleshly world, only matters as it pertains to the eternal. It doesn't matter otherwise. We think that it doesn't matter, to the point that Paul even said, don't even look. He literally said, don't look at what you can see. Think about how ridiculous that sounds unless God's trying to teach us something important. He said, do not look at what you can see. He said, look at what you cannot see. And later on in Colossians, he said, put your mind on things above where Christ is. Whereas the church might read that scripture and use that scripture, but what they really teach is, oh, be the hands and feet of Jesus. Make sure everything around you in this world is the way it needs to be. Focus on this world. Focus on your journey. Focus on helping other people in their journey. When Paul said, don't even look at what's around you. And I understand ministry and how we minister. And I love praying for people to be healed. I love praying for people to receive blessing from the Lord. But we've got to understand that what happens in this world does not even matter unless it pertains to the eternal.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Right. And holiness is the idea of getting to that place of I don't even look at what's around me anymore. I'm looking at what is supernatural. I'm looking at what is eternal. I'm looking, as you said the word, I'm striving to enter through the narrow gate. We have this idea it's just so easy. I just say a few words. Mm-hmm. I just say a few words. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, strive. And if you go look that word up, go look it up in the original language. Go look it up and see what it's a big deal. It's hard. It's laborious. He said, strive to go through the narrow gate. And in the word of God, he actually said, it's difficult. And actually used that word, it's difficult. We are learning here that we are not saved. We're in the process of being saved.
Right, right.
It's the process of being saved.
That's all through all through the Gospels and in Hebrews. There's so many scriptures about
that. The devil
that.
has so tricked God's people. Well, I say a few words, I'm saved. I'm done. It's done. No, well, you have to add holiness into the equation. You have to, because the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Well, let me just throw some words out here.
Can you start with sanctify?
That I can.
I've got this scripture in John that I wanted to read.
Whether I was going to start with sanctify or not, I'm going to start with sanctify now. So first word is sanctify. Sanctify. And I know she has a scripture to read, but let me just say this. The word sanctify in the word of God denotes a process. It is a process of becoming holy. It is the process. Now, again, I need to make this clear. There's a difference between holiness and righteousness.
Yes.
When you commit your life to the Lord, you are made righteous, meaning that according to the law of heaven, where all your sins meant that you were worthy of dying and having just death and destruction, because of the blood of Jesus Christ,
yes,
you are now deemed worthy of being called righteous. You are literally made righteous in the eyes of God.
Amen.
But that's not holiness. That's not holiness. The Bible doesn't say without righteousness no man will see the Lord. It says without holiness. But you can't be holy until you're made righteous first. So you give your heart to the Lord, you're made righteous, but then you begin this process, and that process is called being sanctified. It's all throughout the Word of God talking about this process of being sanctified and moving toward the goal of, and pressing toward the goal of the upward call of God. That's what Philippians 3, we love, everybody loves that scripture about pressing, but they don't understand it's talking about being sanctified. It's talking about that process of being made holy. So I know you've got a scripture that you wanted to read. Go ahead and read it.
In John chapter 17, it's when Jesus is addressing and praying for all of us believers. And just a few of the things he says in verse 17 of chapter 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth.
And I know you read that because you want everyone to understand that sanctification was so important that even Jesus himself said, I sanctify myself. You know, I don't remember if it was Wednesday, Sunday, or both. I don't remember. But I made this statement. I said 100 years ago, if you had have preached a message on sanctification, then not only would it have been seen as normal, that was a regular part of people growing in the Lord, was teaching them that after you're saved, you have to be sanctified. It became in the full gospel world that my family came from, it was you're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, again, I'm not saying that they had the perfect revelation, the full revelation. God has spoken things to us in these last days of the last days and is bringing us back to some important biblical principles that have to precede the Lord coming back. But with that being said, they far were more advanced than what the church is today in understanding what being sanctified is all about. It is that process. And if you're not willing to give your life to that process. You see, we want the counterfeit to the process is the journey that people talk about. Mm-hmm. Oh, my life is a journey. There's churches around us that are called the journey or journey of some sort. And that's because that is the counterfeit to the sanctification process. Oh, my life is a journey. My life, you know, it's my journey. You can't tell me about my journey, and I can't tell you about your journey. It's your journey. It's become this personal, meaningful thing, and it's all just a bunch of hooey is all it is. It's a counterfeit to the process of sanctification that the Holy Spirit helps us walk through. And that's why the Bible says, if you live in the Spirit, also walk in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit, I don't know if that guarantees anything, but walking in the Spirit, when you walk in the steps, that's literally what it means in the Greek language. It means to walk in the steps the Holy Spirit lays down for you. When you walk in the Spirit, you begin that process of being sanctified so that you can be holy. That's word number one. Let me throw another word out there that I used to use a lot, but it still holds true. It's the word exalt. Mm. Exalt. There's a scripture in Hosea that says this. It says, my people, this is God speaking. He says, my people are bent or they're set on backsliding from me. He said, though they all call upon me, none at all exalt me. And that is a picture of God's people, well, throughout history, and it is a picture of God's people today. You have people, we read it all the time, ministries, big ministries, they proclaim that we are living, literally, I think we read this, that we're living in the golden age of Christianity, that things are better now in the church world than they've ever been, when actually it's the opposite. The church has fallen apart, and it is worse now than it has ever been, which is not good, but it has to precede the coming of the Lord and be like this. And they're deceived. They think that it's the golden age, but really what they're doing is they're calling upon the Lord. They're doing what Hosea, what God said in Hosea. He said, all my people call upon me. He said, but none at all exalt me. Calling upon God is the step that should lead to the next step of exalting God. And if it doesn't, then you're not walking in holiness. And I used to say all the time, and I'll use it now. I used to say that holiness answers this question. Is what I'm doing exalting God? Does it lift God up? Does it lift God up, or is it something that benefits someone or something or myself, or does it just purely and fully exalt God? That's a part of holiness that you have to ask in everything that you do, every question, every job, every choice, every time we do something or go somewhere, every vacation, everything. And I know people say, well, you know, there has to be me time. No, it's always God's time. Mm-hmm. It's always God's time. So you got to ask the question, is what I'm doing exalting God? And if you can't answer with a resounding yes, then you need to question what you're doing and say, God, I need you to make my way more clear because I want to walk in holiness. That's another. You started with sanctify, then we went to exalt. Let me give you another biblical word that is a part of holiness. It's the word separate. Separate. The Bible says, if you go back to Joshua, what did he say to them? He said, separate yourself. Some translations say sanctify yourself, which is, we already used that word too. But separate yourself. For tomorrow, I will do wonders amongst you. And there's a close relationship in the Word of God between separating yourself and sanctifying yourself. Sanctify has a strong meaning in the Word of God that leans toward meaning to get away from everything. It means to separate from everything. And you have to understand that we care about what's going on around us. God cares about what's going on in the supernatural spirit realm because that's eternal. And it's not that God doesn't, we clearly minister here. God, he wants you healthy, for example. He wants you blessed, for example. But he only wants it as it pertains to his people walking in the supernatural realm. And a part of making sure that you're walking in that supernatural realm is that you have to separate yourself. You have to live a separate life. I'll just go ahead and use another term that I scribbled down here that describes holiness. It has come out. The Bible says in both the Old and the New Testament, it says this. It says, come out from amongst them. It says, come out and separate yourself, and I will be your God. You see, the church world today preaches go in. Go in. You're not doing any good for God if you don't go in. But the Bible, the Apostle Paul said, come out from amongst him. Come out and be separate. It's literally what the Word of God says. Yes. Come out and be separate. There's this idea in the Word of God that is from the beginning to the very end that God is looking for a remnant people, a group of people that separate themselves, that are willing to say, God, we're not going to wait for you to do it, because that's what we say. We say, God, if you separate me, I'll be separate. I trust and I believe you, Lord, that you have the power to separate me. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says separate yourself over and over and over again. It says separate yourself. Come out from amongst them. If you're going to be a part of this holy remnant, then you're going to have to say, God, I'm going to separate myself. I'm going to separate myself from the world. I'm going to separate myself from their ideas. I'm going to separate myself from their lifestyle. I'm going to separate myself. I'm going to walk away from conversations. I'm going to walk away from things on the TV screen. I'm going to walk away from things on my computer. I'm going to separate myself. And the Bible, again, it says over and over again, it says separate yourself. Because I am God and I'm worthy of you being separate. And that is why God took Israel and put them in the promised land, because he said, you're not going to be like the other nations. So much so that when they got to the promised land, what did the first thing God told them to do? He said, get rid of all the rest of them. Get rid of all the other people around you. You can't be around them.
He said there'll be irritants in your eyes.
Absolutely.
If you don't do it, he specifically said that in Numbers. If you don't do that, they will become irritants in your eyes.
Well, God doesn't change. He doesn't change. No, it might not be in a particular geographical land area that we call the promised land, but God doesn't change. He still wants there to be a people that have separated themselves, that have pulled themselves out, and they said, God, we understand that without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And we're going to separate ourselves. That's what this ark that we have here at the City on the Hill, you want to be in a place where you can say, I'm living this holy life, then you need to run here. You need to run here. You need to work to get whoever you love, you need to get them here. And is it easy? It's not. I will tell you right now, we preach a hard message. A hard message. And I know people are saying, oh, don't say that. They're not going to come. But I'm telling you the truth. But what I can promise you is that we're going to please God.
Amen. Yes.
And that when it comes time, God's going to bless that in your life.
Because nothing else.
Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters before the Lord. The only thing that matters is without holiness, no man will see the Lord. The last word, I've kind of run through the words quickly, but the last word I want to use is this, to climb. You know, you haven't heard me talk about climbing recently, but I wrote the book about the remnant, and a major part of the remnant message is, are you willing to climb the mountain? Are you willing to climb the mountain the way Abraham climbed the mountain? He literally climbed the mountain. Moses had to climb the mountain, I think it was some 7 or 8 times, to go every time he wanted to, that God wanted him, he had to climb the mountain. And of course, you go on, and Elijah and David and Solomon, and just go throughout the Word of God. The example was that God expected you, me, he expected you to climb, because it showed that you were willing to do all the other things, to separate, to exalt him, to be holy. He expected them to climb, and we here at the City on the Hill, we're climbing. We're climbing to that supernatural place. We're climbing to where the higher we get, the more we understand. We're climbing to get away from all that which is beneath us. The Bible talks about Moses and how he was on the mountain, and he could hear the people beneath sinning before the Lord. And there's we want to get away from that. We want to climb the mountain like Moses. That's what we want to be. It's about climbing. You know, I could so easily, I've told people for years, we could get on here and so easily just blow smoke. Just blow smoke and just say, well, you know, come here, we're going to pray for you and you're going to be healed, and then we're going to go celebrate and have a party. And that's so easy to do. But it doesn't get people to heaven. And as I've said so many times, the church is filled with people that aren't going to heaven. It's filled with people that are going to close their eyes and open them in hell. Why? Because no one is teaching them holiness. And again, I keep using this example because it so speaks my heart. But I keep going back to what A.W. Tozier said 75 years ago. He said, I'm scared. He said, I'm frightened for the church because these people actually think they're part of the remnant and they're not. They actually think that they're serving God and they're not. And I want to tell you, what he saw 75 years ago is so much worse now. So much worse. You have... I think I said on Sunday or Wednesday again, I don't remember. And I'll end with this. Someone, a second person actually, gave me a study. Somebody a couple of weeks ago showed me a survey or study. Someone brought this study to me, and it was about what percentage of people that say they're Christians actually believe what's in the Bible? And what was the number? Was it 2% or 3%?
I think
it was 2.
It was
something like that.
Well under 10%.
It was like 2% or whatever. That only that small amount believe the word of God is true. Yet they call themselves Christians. And again, I said it in our service, and I'm going to say it again now. You can't be a Christian and not believe the word of God. You can't. So if again, I want to be careful, but if this is what is being said, I want to say it. If you take 100% of Christians, and this is just a couple of different surveys. But if you take 100% of Christians and only 2, 3, 5, 6%, whatever it is, if that's all that believes that the word of God is true, then you have to say that's the only people that have a shot of going to heaven. Because you can't be a Christian and not believe the word of God. You can't. That's why the devil himself used the word of God against Christ. Mm-hmm. Because even the devil knows how important it is. You can't not believe it. So if only 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, percent of people that are Christian, not people that are Christians, that are in churches of Christians, that say, I'm a Christian. If that's all that believe the word of God, then you have to say, that's all that even have a shot of going to heaven. Think about that. That if you have a sanctuary with 1,000 people in it, that's 20 people maybe. Maybe 50. Think about that. That's crazy scary. But that's why Jesus himself said, and there are few who find it. Few. So I say to you, I say these things to encourage you, because you can be a part of the few. Mm-hmm. But you have to be willing to be sanctified, to sanctify yourself and to walk in holiness. That's what we're doing on the City on a Hill. I'm encouraging people to run here. Run here. Even if you don't understand what's going on, run here and say, we want to be a part of this ark. We want to be a part of a holy people. Well, praise the Lord.
Do you want me to give the rundown?
If you got it, you got it. Yeah, we don't have Benji here today. Yeah. So go.
This
if you
is
got
off the top of my head. Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock.
Yes.
Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We are in the sanctuary live and on all of our platforms with gatherings. And then on Monday nights and Thursday nights and Saturday nights at 8 p.m., we have devotions, online devotions. Tuesday night, Remnant 101 at 8 p.m. with Pastor Benji. And then Friday nights at 8 p.m., our podcast.
Praise God. Well, we've got a lot of new things in the works here that are going to be coming out in the next few weeks to come. And we're excited to share it all with you. Let's just end with this, and people need to remember, people say, yeah, but what about mercy? Doesn't the Bible say that God is merciful? Doesn't it say, talk about how great his mercy is? Let me tell you how great his mercy is. His mercy is so great that he sent his son to die.
Right.
And then he wrote it in a book that is found all over the world. And he said, this is my plan, and I expect you to believe it, and I expect you to walk in holiness. That's how merciful he is. He sent his son to die. But God expects you to accept it, believe it like the pearl of great price, where you're everything. You deny yourself. Denying yourself means you deny yourself. It's not you anymore. Yourself is gone. And you walk in holiness. Yeah, he is merciful. That's how merciful he is. He sent his son to die. Mercy doesn't mean he snaps his finger and says, oh, everybody's in. That's not mercy. That's not mercy. There's nothing in the word of God that shows that. Nothing. That's not mercy. Mercy is that God saw that man was sinful and couldn't help themselves.
Right.
And he says, I'm going to make a path. I'm going to make a highway of holiness. I'm going to make a way for them to spend eternity with me because I love them so much. Join us here at the City on the Hill. Let's walk that path together. God bless you.